Well, hey there, football fans. Welcome to the Soccer Central Podcast, Thursday edition. Today, however, rather than there being three idiots in the studio, there's just two idiots in the studio.
All right.
Myself, James Sharman, and that guy, Thomas Dobby.
Hello.
Hello.
All right. Yeah, so we're just saying, I just thought Punters was late, as usual, and that he'd come strolling in, at his own.
Blaming the traffic.
Winter, even though it's, getting to be spring now, roads were terrible.
He lives in a condo.
Watching the end of the Europa League games, lying. Yeah.
Who's watching those games?
Yeah. I had to. He apparently just couldn't do it this week, but after us not doing one last week, we thought, loyal legions of millions out there needed a Thursday podcast.
Yeah. I mean,
so thank you to all 10 of you.
The feedback on Twitter.
I know.
Where are you guys?
I think I got three tweets asking where the pod was.
I didn't get one.
Really?
None.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I know. It's kind of sobering, actually.
Yeah, like, what are we sobering, doing?
Christ almighty.
Although when you send out a tweet for questions, which you just did, we're already getting a bunch of people. So it's like, are they just active on Twitter and then don't listen to the pod, or do they listen to the pod and then not wonder where it is if we miss a week?
I get quite a few, favorites and retweets.
It's odd.
Of my request of questions.
It really is odd.
Don't favorite it. I'll do it later. Just reply.
See, here's what you have to know about, when Sharman puts that tweet out, is generally when we're walking into this podcast studio. So you got to answer right away and not just do it later or down the road, because we'll either A, forget, or B, it's far too late.
You see, this is on our own free time, right?
Yeah.
We're not being paid to do this. No. So therefore, we put very little effort into it.
Really? I worked out a deal. I get paid for this.
Really? You're getting responses on Twitter and you're getting paid for this?
Clearly not.
I suck. I just suck.
Clearly not.
So you didn't watch Europa League today, huh?
No. Man, we're doing the bloody Renos around the place. And
Renos?
Not really Renos.
Living
as much
a bachelor.
As I know. It's,
there's some rooms in there.
We're just kind of doing stuff around the place.
When you say you mean that the girlfriend's telling you what to do?
Literally, man, she is putting up a TV stand, getting the drill out. I'm useless.
I don't
know what to do. No, it's pathetic.
So you didn't watch the
So I had it on, but I was kind of in and around.
It was background noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? And I said it last time, the time before, they're really good games this year.
Yeah.
As much as it's been maligned, as much as, I've made fun of it in the past.
The sexy teams aren't really there, though.
But the sexy games are, man.
Yeah.
I mean, today, Wolfsburg, who, I tell you what, if you haven't watched Wolfsburg this year, watch Wolfsburg. They are
incredible.
They're playing great. They're second to Bayern Munich in Germany. They're going to finish second. They beat Inter Milan today 3-1. Kevin De Bruyne, two more goals. 15 on the season, 19 assists.
Wow.
Overall. 15 goals, 19 assists.
Couldn't cut it at Chelsea.
Not good enough.
Interesting.
Yeah. He's just been fantastic. And they are once again great, although Inter were very poor at the back. The backup goalkeeper, Carrizo, was awful. Why they're not starting Handanovic in these games, I don't know. Everton beat Dinamo Kiev 2-1. Lukaku, he scored again. Had this assist today, Tom, which you'd be proud of. He got the ball about center circle. This lung-busting run. Literally body checked three guys off him.
Wow.
Then spread it wide to Naismith.
Class.
And then buried the finish. It was brilliant.
Nice.
It could have been called for a foul in some leagues, but to me it's a good old fashioned shoulder charge. He's so strong. He's so good. He's got 9 goals this season. Sorry, in 2015 out of Everton's 16 goals. He's been a one man demolition crew.
If I had told you at the beginning of this season that Everton would be the last English team in Europe, you would have laughed me out of here.
I would have thought there's more chance of the FA making a draw at the quarterfinal stage of the cup rather than after each round.
Oh, yes. That discussion.
Yeah, we'll get to that later.
But if Arsenal and Man City go out as expected next week, Arsenal obviously going to Monaco down 3-1 and Man City going to Barcelona down 2-1, they both go out next week, then next Thursday, no matter what happens, Everton are the final team from England, left in Europe.
And if you compare that to their league form.
Gone. Man City, likely gone. Arsenal, likely gone. Liverpool, gone. Spurs, out. Everton.
Don't forget Hull.
Everton struggling mightily in the league.
It must do.
Last team in Europe from England.
Bobby Martinez's head in.
Yeah.
I mean, how they can be such different teams in the league compared to Europe. I mean, they were good today. I mean, at times they were overrun in the first half.
Not only Kiev, a seasoned European team. They're always in the mix into the knockout stages of the Europa
League.
They've
won 23 of 28 games this year.
Wow.
That's how good they are. They're a good team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sergei Rebrov, their coach.
Is he?
Yeah, remember him. To Sheva and then went to Spurs, didn't do very much. West Ham as well.
Him and Sheva were partners for Ukraine for the national team for a while. Of course. Very good.
Great. Other result, quickly to get to, Fiorentina tied Roma 1-1. I mention it because, obviously, an all-Italian clash, but Roma now have drawn 12 of the last 16 games.
Jeez.
That's crazy. That's one of the craziest stats I've heard this season. 12 of 16.
So four Italian teams.
Five. Five. Torino played today as
So Torino lost 2-0.
Napoli won.
Napoli won 3-1. So
and Juve in the Champions League.
And looks like two Italian teams in good shape anyways. One obviously has to go through, and then Napoli with a
gobbling up
win.
Those coefficient points.
Yeah.
While England are pissing theirs away. There's still a big lead, I think.
I think it'll be okay for a while.
They better get their shite together, though.
I mean, they had those really... I think it's... Is it a five-year window, I think, of those coefficients?
Yeah, they do it, yeah.
So, I mean, England had, you know, the last few years, and even with Chelsea making their runs along, it'll be okay for a bit, but... What is it?
Do we have to discuss the
It's such a cyclical, right?
Changed. Next year it could be three teams in the semifinal.
It's very cyclical, and it's like people always say, oh, the Premier League this or that, or Spain is better.
Who cares? They're all great.
Right.
They're all great.
Yeah.
You know? And don't tell me Spain's great, because there's three great teams there.
Yeah.
Three great teams in England.
Yeah.
Two, really. Two. But whatever. It's a boring argument. Champions League was fun this week, wasn't it?
It was very insanity.
We've got to start with Real Madrid, Schalke.
Second legs are always better than these, right?
Schalke, you know, they've got this reputation under Di Matteo being this uber defensive team. Well, even though in recent weeks they haven't really played that well defensively. I don't know what they were against Real Madrid. They weren't defensive.
I don't know what that game was.
Pushing forward, they were absolutely brilliant. They really were. And Real Madrid, absolutely dreadful as well.
Yeah, and it was funny because the talk leading up, and like I saw you and Dunlop do the piece on Sportsnet Central on Monday, and you know, just listening to the commentators going in and everything you're reading, it was kind of just like, okay, Real Madrid struggling mightily in the league. It's been a bad little run. Not only do they have to win this match, they have to win it convincingly and with style. And then they don't even go out and win. I mean, that was as close as you can come to going out in, you know, an absolute heap of flames. Heap of flames is not an expression.
You can get a heap of flames, I think.
Can you?
You get like the coals. There's a heap of coals.
What am I looking for? A blaze of...
Heap of shit, is what I'm thinking.
Heap of shit, no.
You can get a heap of shit.
Up in flames? I don't know. That was terrible.
I think you can get a heap of flames if you include the actual fuel.
31 shots to 25. 31 shots for Schalke. There's 56 shots in that game. I mean, could you be more wide open? You're going home up 2-0. And I know, okay, you want to, you know, go for a bit of style and whatnot. And once Ronaldo kind of scored, it was 1-1 in the game. He thought, okay, well, here they go. That second half and the chances that they had to go through was, you didn't know what you're watching. It was honestly unbelievable to think that that is happening and to get booed off by the fans. Incredibly interested to see who they draw in the next round. Yes, they draw again.
Oh, do they? Thanks. Are you sure? It's not a bracket at this point.
It's not. Really going to be interesting to see who they get, because they their form is
at the
is
same
bad
time.
As
it is, but you still don't want to draw them. No. Even at this point. I know they're struggling. I know apparently ownership's after Ancelotti, which is just ridiculous. Surely learn from PSG and from Chelsea. Yeah. He's a very good coach. Don't fire him now. But there's issues there. The BBC... I know they scored three goals. Ronaldo had two, and Benzema scored a nice goal. But overall, they weren't great, I don't think. They'd given the ball away really badly late in that game when they had to retain it, which gave Schalke more and more chances. But I know it seems like that. I know I'm not getting the tactics here, but there's a huge, huge chasm between the midfield and those three. Modric came back off the bench, first time since November. That could help fix that. But in his first game back, he looked a very, you know, questionable. In fact, it was his errant poke that set up one of Schalke's goals, wasn't it? You know, they're just really bad. I think it's a slump. I don't think it's a crisis just yet.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so odd to see it happen to this team that was motoring so much. And you thought that the league is theirs, and to already now be behind Barcelona. I think that psychological fact that they went into that game already, you know, behind Barca and had just lost to Bilbao before that, you know, drew with Villarreal. you could see that quivering, but this is the one where now you got to see how they respond. They're home to Levante this week in the league. You got to think, and then it's Barcelona away in the league in a monster game the following Sunday. So, you know, the draws next Friday. It's gonna be tasty for sure to see who they get.
I think the part of the issue is, and we said it before Christmas, as much as Ronaldo's brilliant and they're over aligned on him, they have to over align him. He's that good. But what he was doing before Christmas was, we haven't seen that before outside of a couple of years of Messi. It was incredible. Yeah. The minute he loses a bit of form or is struggling through that knee injury, which is much speculated, and he's not carrying the team, who's going to step up? And no one's stepping up.
Gareth Bale's still carrying them.
He is. He's getting two more goals. I'm not concerned, but he's been in a bit of a slump by his standards.
Yeah.
8 goals in 14 games, probably 10 and 15 now in 2015. They're good numbers. But when he had more than a goal a game leading up to Christmas, then there's no one has his back in the new year. Bale's been bad.
Yeah.
Not just poor, he's been bad.
Yeah.
You know, and it's confidence or whatever it is. But there's issues there.
Benzema disappearing.
Yeah. I mean, Casillas wasn't great again.
But in Real Madrid's history, he becomes the first player ever to score 40 or more goals in 5 straight seasons. It's bloody mid-March. I mean, there's still 2+ months of the season to go.
Yep.
It's incredible.
Yep.
40 goals again.
He's allowed a slight downward turn for a few weeks. It is the dog days of the season, right, as well.
Yeah.
We're kind of creeping out of that now to the stretch run.
Yeah.
But it has been, and it generally is when in the new year through till about March. So I give him this, but I just think his team owe it to him to take over a bit, and no one's done that.
The thing is with Ronaldo, and it always falls into this, and it's incredibly noticeable with Portugal too. Whenever the team struggles, it's always going to center on him because A, he's a centerpiece. B, he's the best player. He gets the attention. He brings it on, whatever. So good or bad, it's going to kind of follow him. And he's a guy that I'll admit I'll be the first you kind of love to hate. But I don't think that you can blame him for this. He's doing everything he can to do it. And he's going to get flack if people think he's too much, you know, too selfish, too much of a ball hawk. He's going to get too much flack. Imagine he became this complete team player and always was passing the ball. Then people will get on him for his lack of goal scoring. He's never going to be able to give people, he's never going to be able to take all of his detractors and convince them. He's just not. Whereas Messi, I think, is beloved by almost everyone, unless you're a Real Madrid fan.
Yeah, you're right.
Unless you're a Real Madrid fan, even...
It's more offensive than it is with Messi. People just like him. Whereas Messi, like you love him
because
or you hate
he's not that flash guy, and he's more everybody, he's kind of the common man's superstar.
Yeah.
Whereas Ronaldo, it's easy to detest him. It's easy to detest the lifestyle and the pretty boyness and the acting and the diving and the whinging and the crying and this and that.
You heard about the whole waxwork.
Buddy.
So he's got a waxwork.
Why Dunlop
somewhere.
Loves him, right? I mean, yeah, exactly. They're peas in a pot.
In his image is fair enough, but he insists on sending his own personal hairstylist to style his waxwork's hair once a month.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why Dunlop loves him.
Yeah.
Because he would do the same thing. Ever hit a waxwork, which let's hope that never happens.
But for all of that, I mean, I cannot criticize him on the field because pound for pound, I mean, he is the best in the world. And him and Messi, it's interchangeable at times who is the better player at the time, but they're 1 and 1A.
This current slump reminds me a bit of the World Cup with Portugal, where he played okay and he did everything he could. He was clearly injured and tired.
He did.
But he tried everything and played pretty well, but no one had his back and no one stepped up.
That Portugal team this summer was horrific. Yes. Without him, they would have got bounced in the group stage easily, like much more simply. They wouldn't have even been involved.
No. That's been a long way with him.
Yeah.
And fair enough. Porto beat Basel 4-0. Boy, those are great goals, weren't they?
Yeah.
Wow.
Porto, impressive.
Abubakar's was... Love to see that guy score, by the way.
Yeah.
Lorient, I remember doing a lot of his... highlight packs last year with Lorient, scored 16 goals. Then he went to Porto, and we thought, well, great move, brilliant move. But did nothing. He's done nothing. And apparently he's got major confidence issues. He gets a chance with Jackson Martinez out, and he played really well, scored a goal. And for a team that was missing, you know, their talisman, Jackson Martinez, a team that lost Danilo to an awful-looking injury early on.
Yeah, it did look bad.
Porto were absolutely brilliant. And I know the term dark horse has been thrown around since then, and I think with Porto, they're always dark horse. They're always formidable, aren't they?
They are. And even the first leg at Basel, I mean, they played really well. They left 1-1, but they were heaping on the pressure. And they've been great in the Champions League this year. yet to lose so far in the group stage and now. And I think they're one of those teams where you kind of look depending on who gets through next week. And, you know, they're not the big standout name, but I don't think you want to draw them either. I mean, that's a team that you would like to avoid, and you could easily see them if they get the right team into a semifinal. And, you know, it's been a while since a Portuguese team has kind of made that. You know, the last time Porto won the Champions League, it was a long time ago with, you know, back in the Mourinho days and whatnot. And Portuguese soccer kind of needs a team to do this again. Yes, the Europa League, they have a lot of success in the Europa League, teams like Benfica and Porto have, but I think to do it on the Champions League level is different and needed for Portuguese soccer right now. So, you know, maybe they're seeing that boon again.
Yeah, but that is a team that, you know, teams will want to avoid.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Bayern Munich beat Shakhtar 7-0. So much the 0-0.
Yeah.
Six different scorers in that one and a third-minute red card.
That'll
Shakhtar,
do it.
Which will do it, right? It's picked apart. I mean, what can you really say about this game? They lost Robben and Ribéry to injury. They're both out for the Werder Bremen game this Monday, but I think they are the most complete team in Europe. I think they should be the favorites.
Yeah, I mean, the kind of engine is clicking again here. They had that bit of a down spell right after the winter break there where they came out and lost to Wolfsburg in the first game, and then they've dropped points along the way. But their lead is so big in Germany that they really have that going for them, that advantage where the likes of the other two big favorites would be Real Madrid and Barcelona are going to be neck and neck throughout the season in the league. Mm-hmm. They can't take a week off, whereas Bayern Munich.
So is that, who's got the benefit there? A team that is competitively on the edge of
I think Bayern Munich, because Pep Guardiola will have them ready to go for Europe. And not that they take weeks off, but you can kind of, you know, he can rest guys. He can figure out when he wants to play his full team. He can figure out what he wants to do in training more. An 11-point lead in Germany with 10 games to go, like, it's finished, mm-hmm. right? Whereas Real and Barca, like I said, they still have to play each other coming up. They have to focus week in and week out. And that mentality, I think Bayern, that serves them very well.
Lahm on the bench. He's back. Mm. You know, I think Alcantara is close behind as well. So they're getting deeper.
And to find out what the odds are right now to win the Champions League, just out of curiosity, I would imagine Bayern are the favorites.
They should be, yeah.
And then, you know, probably Barcelona. And
I mean, I don't Rangers. Know. It's a deeper team. I mean, you lose Xabi Alonso and Schweinsteiger slips in there. You have David Alaba, who's playing centrally. He can play at left back, right wing, left wing. I'm sure he could probably play goal if he wanted to. He's that good. The most underrated player in world football right now.
Bayern Munich, 3.5-1. Real Madrid and Barcelona, just under 4-1. So okay, it's so very are. Close, yeah. The three of them. And if Barcelona get through Man City as expected, that might change. They might be co-favorites because they still have this to get through, whereas Bayern and Real are already through.
Well, the X factor here, of course, is Paris Saint-Germain, isn't it?
They're the fourth choice at 11-1.
Let's get to Paris Saint-Germain, yeah, shall we?
Good for them.
2-2 against Chelsea. Advance on away goals. Scored in extra time. We can discuss the away goals rule and nonsensical it is, but Chelsea have made no friends after that performance. It was as cynical as you could possibly see. It was awful.
I found myself out loud yelling at the TV, angry at what was going on there. It was disgusting. And it's the kind of display that people that don't watch the game that we love week in, week out, if they sat down and watched that, I would totally understand that mindset of, oh, they're all just acting. They're all just diving. It's a stupid game. That game made me angry about that. Yep. And Chelsea were horrendous. The complaints, the penalty appeals, the diving, the play acting, the embellishment, the conning the ref, the asking for cards. It was disgusting. I literally was yelling at the TV.
Let me ask you this, though. A great tweet from Dr. Jay Khan.
Our boy.
This morning, actually. He said, where does last night's PSG-Chelsea match rank amongst the all-time classics? Now, bear with him. He says it had it all. It had controversy with Ibra's red card, incredulous moments with Luis scoring and the bridge and Silva's redemption, and great tension like an NHL playoff game. The dark arts from Costa and Chelsea's crowding of referee totally added to the drama. It was sport in its finest form. I know what he's saying. For me, it was the worst played classic that I've seen because it truly was. It had it all apart from flowing football and wonderful goals.
Oh, you couldn't take your eyes off.
Right.
I mean,
it was a train wreck.
It was a train wreck. It was fun to watch for, you know, us. But again, I hate the mentality, and I hate how that reflects on the game because it was ugly to watch. But
and it went
it
both
fun.
Ways. And listen, PSG, sure. David Luiz was a disgrace.
Oh, yeah.
absolute disgrace. Yeah. But it's funny how this game works out in the poetry, because for him to come up and score, of course, was something really special for him, obviously, and he really stuck it to Jose Mourinho. But the minute that Ibra got sent off and the reaction of the Chelsea players, that, to me, turned the table as to who I wanted to win this game. I was pretty impartial entering it, didn't care, but it reminded me of Chelsea at their worst. John Terry screaming in a referee's face. We saw it back in the early 2000s when Jose first took over. Every Jose Mourinho team does it. Porto did it in 2004. I remember that final so well.
Mourinho,
and I was screaming at the TV. Real Madrid, the same thing.
Wasn't he, though? He was smiling and even... You know,
it's more of a smirk, though.
It was odd, you know? It was like, what's going on in his head? He wasn't his normal kind of self at times. And then the 2-2 goal went in. He's kind of smiling.
But wasn't it like... It was almost disrespecting the opposition. Yeah. The whole Chelsea team outlet was that. It was like, we'll get through this.
Oh, absolutely. And once the red card happened, it's kind of like you're never in trouble. And then
where's the ruthless
1-0, it was like, okay. And then, you know, you switch off, and that's the sign of a fragile team, switching off 1-1. Okay, they get, you know, the penalty. I don't know what Silva was doing. It's a penalty. I mean, the handball.
Sure it is, yeah.
Okay, they finally got one. Okay, they're going through again. And then just to switch off like that, the fact that, you know, Silva almost scored on a header 30 seconds before then. Courtois to make a great
brilliant
save.
Don't forget, there's a post as well before.
To all credit to Silva, that second header was brilliant.
Was it
to score from there at that angle with that power and just the placement? You couldn't have placed it any better. But still, I mean, that's the guy that you need to mark.
This is Chelsea, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't played great football for a while now, but they grind out results.
They're really good at defending set pieces normally.
In that stage, in that scenario, when they're up, they're not going to blow that. There's no chance. But they did. They look very fragile. They look exhausted.
Yeah.
And we said before how he's not rotating the squad. Cesc Fabregas has been half the Cesc Fabregas of before Christmas.
Remember when Costa was going to score 60 goals this year?
Traditionally speaking, Fabregas just falls down second half of the season. Yeah. He gets tired. Costa, you know, again, a guy that he terrifies you, he infuriates you. I don't know what, he wasn't in the game. He was more concerned about getting under the skin of PSG than scoring goals.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work out. I mean, I lost a lot of respect for him in that game.
Yeah, he was the worst defender on Chelsea of the guys that we were yelling at. There's some questions off Twitter about this game. Jordan Utke. Is Blanc's job safe now, or did yesterday's result simply give him more time for the inevitable?
I think he's still gone, and I think it's so unfair. Right? Yeah. It's a great question. He's so unfair. Yeah. Ancelotti got let go from PSG as well. That was stupid.
But what if they go to the final?
Well, they win it.
What if they go? Let's say they get to the final.
I think they want a big name. They want a Pep. They want a
Larry White's not good enough. Eh?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is to me, he's a big name.
Yeah.
And he's done a good job there. I mean, they've won a championship in France. He's leading there again. They're probably going to win another championship again this year, even though it's a slower start to the season. They've got to the quarterfinals again. Now, they've done that before. They've got to take that next step now.
Yeah. They're a point back of Lyon in the league right now.
But this is their biggest, win, isn't it, of the modern era for PSG, don't you think? Because they've beaten a truly realistic champion, one of the true heavyweights of European football.
Yeah, and don't forget, they almost beat Barcelona 2 years ago.
Exactly.
At the quarterfinal stage. It was very close. I think Messi had to rescue Barca in that second leg. They almost went into the Nou Camp and pulled it out. So, no, I agree. And when you look at it, you know, we talk about some of these bigger teams falling. It's like if PSG can avoid the Bayern, Real, or Barca quarterfinal, if they get one of the other teams, then they'll be favorites and they'll be in good shape to get to a semifinal. And after that display with 10 men, you know what, for all of the, you know, we say PSG are as much at fault as Chelsea, and that's true. Big balls to do that.
Yeah.
To be down to 10 men
for
80 plus minutes of that game and to come back twice from being a goal down, good for them.
But still Chelsea allowed them to as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
They could have put the heel on the throat.
But you can't take credit.
No, listen, I'm with you. I thought they were brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's you almost come out of that thinking, oh, good plucky little PSG.
Yeah,
joke.
Right, of course. I know.
A bit of a check here. Wait a minute.
They can't get that money.
Yeah, they've bought championships.
They spend a lot of money.
They're spending more than
$50 million on David Luiz.
Jesus.
Yeah. But funny, though, Luiz and Silva. I mean, Silva at fault for the handball, and these are the two guys that score, and just the summer that they had and the dreadfulness.
Well,
you're going to
hear the
Brazil,
most disastrous tweet ever. It was me. Right? So it's after the handball. I said, what is it Thiago Silva? About the big games and the big occasions, he must really hate them. And then I realized, wait a minute, so I sent it. I went, oh no, he wasn't playing in that game. against Brazil. Yeah. And, oh, yeah, sorry, I knew he was hurt. Then I found out, oh, no, wait, no, of course not. He was suspended.
Yeah, he was suspended.
So already it's unraveling this yeah, tweet.
And then he scores.
Yeah, it was the worst little pattern of tweeting I've ever done in my entire life. And I apologize.
Yeah.
And thank you for all of those many people who called me out. Yeah. And so you should.
Lots of tweets actually on this game. Steve Sunyoung Huang, you have to pick between being coached by Mourinho or being on Zlatan's team. Which one?
I'll coach by Mourinho. I think I'd love to be coached by, and I think being
couldn't play with
having oh, I'd hate it. If you read his book, you realize that how he just bosses every room he goes into and thinks he's a man because he's a man. He's such a huge personality. People are scared of him.
Was that
straight away?
That red card, what was that on reputation? I mean, that was just a horrendous call.
I think partly it was Jose's comments before the match.
Yeah.
You know, about how you know, the aggressivity, he called it. The aggression.
Referee lost
of
control
PSG.
Early. And that kind of made for the craziness.
And then just reacting to the player's reaction to him. I think it was a terrible referee game. It was. Anything else in that game, tweet-wise?
That game, no, not specifically. We have other questions, though.
Okay.
I mean, an overall one here from Kian. Should soccer have instant replay for red cards, penalty shots, offsides, etc.?
No.
I mean, we've had this.
However, I do believe in retroactive punishment.
Yeah.
And also revisiting cards, even if the referee saw it.
Yeah.
Because right now, you can't revisit it. If it's in his book, I saw the incident.
I actually agree with you. Retroactive, I'm fine with. I don't want to stop how the game's played. You'd be completely fooling with the game. You can't do that.
Yep, and there's enough. The fourth official should have a bigger role to play, though.
Yeah.
And, you know, say a little cheeky whisper into the referee, listen, I did see this.
I think the goal line technology, how it's been instituted in the Premier League, is really, really good. I mean, it doesn't stop the flow of the game. The game keeps going, it goes the way. I think it's been done actually very seamlessly.
Yep.
I've been impressed with it.
Well, Dallas Jarvis, great question. Thoughts on the new Noel Gallagher album?
I haven't heard it, actually.
It's really good. I
is
bought it?
It
this week, actually. Yeah, it's excellent.
I'll check it out.
I've listened to it a few times. Was it the Mighty Ballad of I? I think it's called. It's brilliant.
Yeah,
classic.
I'll check it out.
I don't know if it's as good as his first album.
Yeah,
his first one. I think if that was called Oasis, it would be considered one of their best albums.
Yeah,
it's that good.
The High Flying Birds.
Yeah, High Flying Birds. Yeah, actually going to see both his shows in May.
Both.
Yeah.
One or two.
Yeah, I'm taking the wife to one, and then going with Brady to the other.
Where is it?
At the Sony Center.
Oh, cool.
Wicked.
Nice.
So yeah, it is fantastic. I recommend you buy it.
Okay, another great soccer tweet. Predictions for the F1 season opener this weekend. All right.
What, sorry?
The F1 season opener this weekend.
Oh, Michael Schumacher's going to win.
That's more for Dunlop.
Probably not.
He might still be in a coma.
He's the Ballad of the Mighty Eyes.
Cool. You might get sued for this.
It's really good.
Oh, my God. This is what it's come to, eh?
Yeah,
playing music into the pod. Excellent.
Ah, amazing.
All right.
There you go. Okay.
Bill Richardson. Oops.
See, there he is. Ah, no. Huh? I like Liam's voice. I do, but I've always preferred Noel's voice. Anyway.
Will Angel Di Maria be playing for Manchester United next year from Bill Richardson?
No, he won't. And I feel
don't
so
think
bad
so,
for
eh?
The guy, yeah.
Oh.
I think off the field, personally, I think I mentioned this on Monday's podcast, how he had a home invasion incident,
mm-hmm.
and it just terrified as it would his family, his wife. He's got a young family. They're now living in a hotel, I believe. You know, and I don't care what he's making. He's human. And the toll that must take on someone must be extraordinary. We saw it last year with Alvaro Negredo.
Mm-hmm.
Great start at Man City. Similar situation. And he went off the rails. Juan Verón actually had to confront home invaders when he was at Man U, I believe. And we know how great he is. He's been played out of position as well. He's been hurt a bit. That's on the field. They're good enough, I think, excuses in your first year in a new club. But you add that personally, and I give him a complete mulligan, and I think he's just the first opportunity to get back to the continent, he'll do it.
And Falcao's gone as well.
Yeah, right?
No interest there.
No.
Crazy how these moves from Manchester United, I mean, it's so rare to see. Yeah, it's a real shame.
They're on the top four.
Yeah. But somehow, I mean, it's been just...
Manu's playing Spurs on Sunday, huh?
Yeah, and that performance against Arsenal going back to the FA Cup on Monday, I mean, that was kind of... I think that really hit home for a lot of Man United fans because they kind of saw that as obviously their last chance at a trophy this season, and to put in that performance and lose at home and Welbeck scoring, all of the things that went into that. I think the harsh reality is setting in for Manchester United fans now that it might be a few years before this team is back competing for trophies.
But there is a great time to rebuild with so much weakness around them.
I suppose.
Right? But that's going to change too. I mean, the fact that they're top four, given how they've played,
yeah.
and I don't care, it's not being biased here, they have not played a good game all year. Right? They've been bailed out by some great goalkeeping and some really bad teams around them who just can't get their shite together either.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Di Maria, a red card against Arsenal was just...
But right now, if I had to put money on it, I would take Liverpool to finish in the top four over Man United.
Well, United's got a very tough run in too.
I love the way Liverpool's playing. They've been great. And to be 2 points back now with 10 games to go, I mean, that battle for top four, you've got basically four teams going for two spots because I'm going to just take Southampton out of it. It's been a nice story, but they're not finishing top four.
Liverpool playing Swansea on Monday. It's as if they play Swansea every week, isn't it? One of those teams.
The old John Joe Shelby and Brendan Rodgers Bowl. Yeah,
exactly.
Interesting. United plays Spurs, as you said. Arsenal
Chelsea, Southampton.
West Ham.
Interesting one.
Yeah, that's on Sunday.
Saints are once again rebounding, right? You know, you think they're going down and they're still very much contention there. Everton, Newcastle. Interesting match. Probably John Carver, huh?
Boy, it's just
not working out for him, is it?
Some people wanted me to talk about the championship. Which,
yeah, I saw those tweets.
I haven't followed as much as I'd like this year.
Who asked you the question?
Adamo.
I'm going to be blocking you.
What is it that makes championships so competitive, difficult to get promoted out of? And then also...
Earl Gordon, too.
My boy, Earl Gordon, yesterday.
I'm going to have to block Earl as well.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
Long time.
Sorry, Earl, but... I'm joking.
Four teams, Middlesbrough, Watford, Derby, and Bournemouth, all... on 66 points. Four-way tie from first to fourth in the championship with 10 games to go.
Four-way.
That's tasty. Yeah, four-way.
Four-ways are tasty.
Very tasty. Norwich a point behind on 65. There's, honestly, Brentford, Ipswich, there's seven teams within 5 points that could all go up automatic, and one of them at least is going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's, what a season. What a competitive league. And that's when you talk about the, you know, importance of just finding a way to claw and stay up and finish 17th in the Premier League. Because do you really want to get in that dogfight with those teams and that competitiveness? Every week is a tough game in the championship.
It is. It really is. Forget the glamour and the big names and money. It's the better league.
Competitive-wise, sure. Competition-wise, week in, week out, you play 46 games. You got 24 teams. Look at the teams that are going down. Blackpool and Wigan are gone. Blackpool are 17 points adrift. They're finished. Mm-hmm. Wigan are 8 points back of safety. Fulham's fourth from bottom. Millwall just fired Holloway this week. Are going down. They're going to be in League One next year. League One's going to be crazy.
I tell you, if you move into England tomorrow, you know, and you can put away the
championship.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You get tickets. They're cheaper.
Oh my
great
god!
Great little grounds.
Great grounds.
Great atmosphere.
So fun. It really is.
And every week
it's
going
to go down
to
the Premier League. If you're Burnley or QPR or Leicester, go back to the Championship. More fun.
I just say it'd be nice. I mean, I'm just. So many years now following the top. Oh. It's just nice sometimes to take a breath and watch some real football.
I would just love for us to get out of League One and back up to the championship.
Yeah.
Just what a league. What a league with so many interesting teams.
Did you watch TFC last weekend?
I did. Yeah, I watched it at the pub, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, my brother checked it out.
A lot of TFC fans there?
Yeah, decent. Went to just Dog and Bear there on Queen.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was good.
The bangers and mash.
Yeah, had it.
Did you? Nice.
Oh, absolutely. $5 pints, 4-7, loaded up
really?
On those.
Yeah, it's fun. Though, right?
Yeah, they're like Amsterdam Blonde.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Still, that's the method, isn't it?
Yeah.
Still good beer.
Yeah, it was
very good beer,
yeah.
Actually. Yeah.
All right.
Good.
What'd you think?
I thought it was quite impressive. I mean, they were being smashed in the first half.
Oh, the first half hours.
It's nice to see a TFC coach make some changes and. Second half.
Yeah.
Altidore was great. You know, showed some real balls to score that Panenka. Jovinko was what we thought he's going to be, I think.
Yeah, very good.
Tricky, wily.
You know, you worry about them defensively because Vancouver had put away their chances early, it could have been 4-0.
They would have been exploited, wouldn't they? But they changed it up. They realized that.
Yeah.
And they're missing some adjustments.
Columbus away this Saturday night.
Yep. You see a picture of... Altidore scored.
Yeah, the woman, the finger.
Someone actually tweeted me. I guess he knows her.
Oh, really?
And he asked her, you know, do you want her on the podcast? And it's like, oh, I forget what he asked anyway. But I thought, it's a great picture, mind you. It's a very nice picture.
Yeah.
Just,
what you gonna say?
It's football, right?
Yeah.
It's nice. That's how we celebrate the game. We just put the bird to someone who scored a goal. But it's a funny picture. It beats seeing that young little Feyenoord boy give him the finger, right?
Yeah. Six more games on the road here. They're, you know, just less than 2 months until the first home game against Houston. That's all. You got to wait, TFC fans.
We're showing a ton of games on Sportsnet this summer.
Nice.
Yep.
Good.
Yep. So looking forward to that. And I have to say, I'm actually looking forward to MLS this season because of all the new faces and a couple of new teams.
Yeah, I've got some games. Yeah. Sure.
We should probably call it quits,
right? All right, yeah.
It's gone longer than I thought.
We got to most of the tweets.
Yeah.
People were probably sick of us ages ago. Oh, no one's listening.
They probably tuned in before we got to the first games in the Europa League.
All right.
All right, well, thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
Check out sportsnet.ca for the schedule this weekend. Premier League returns, of course, to Sportsnet. Check out sportsnet.ca/soccer. Mr. Molinaro, I have to say, does a kick-ass job. There's so much stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a content machine on that site, including this podcast, which brings it all down. But check it out. I'm back on Monday with JMO for the Much Better podcast. And yeah.
Sorry.
So sorry.